hope all of you had a great Christmas and hope you all have a great new year. Someone said not long back they were living on the edge. I don't know exactly what they meant by that, but I began to think about living on the edge. And in a way, we're all living on the edge, aren't we? Right now, there's the edge of disaster. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Edge of disaster financially and the economy. We know that sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. We live on the edge of war in our day. We never know when war is going to break out. Our terror. We live in the edge of terror when we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. But the Bible reminds me in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And it says a time to be born and a time to die. Man, a time to be born and a time to die. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for you, what we've heard in song, how the word has gone forth, that you touch our heart. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful time that we live in of a Christmas and a new year about to start. And our lives have one more year that we've seen pass. Lord, I thank you for the love that you had for us, that you sent your Son into the world to die for us, that we might have life. And Lord, this morning as we think about living on the edge, Lord, I pray that as we look at our lives, that we'll see what we need to hear from your word, and Lord, we may act upon what we hear. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. A time to live, a time to die. You know, when I think about an edge, I think about an axe, a blade, a real sharp blade, and it's so sharp it has a fine edge on it. Also, I think about going to the edge of a cliff and looking over. A few years back, we went out to the Grand Canyon, and I don't advise anybody to do what I do, but there was a rock sticking up off the Grand Canyon, and I thought, well, you know, I believe I can get out there on that thing. And so, acting crazy, I step across that big gap, and I'm on that rock. And all down, I begin to think, ooh, things are turning, it's dizzy here, you know. I think, well, you know, this thing been here for years, and all it might need is another 200 pounds to go over. And I said, Lord, protect this ignorant person. And he did. I got back off of that thing, but I took some pictures, you know. And I thought, man, that's the edge of nowhere when you just drop off into, well, death. When you hit the bottom. Well, we live life that way, don't we? Live it on the edge. A line or a point in our life where we come to that we drop off. Or we look beyond that. There's a leap of faith beyond that. And I want us to look at three things about living on the edge. Some of us here this morning, and we are living on the edge of, I call, salvation. We've come to that point in our life. Some of us have never trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you're here this morning, and you've come to that point or that edge where you're going to have to step out by faith or reject what you've heard. You see, the Bible says there's a right direction in which to go. And we need to step over that point to Christ. The Bible says there's a narrow road and a wide road. God has for us His grace and mercy. And He said, I want you to have life. I want you to live it abundantly. I want you to trust me as your Savior. And some of us this morning have come to that point many times. Someone told me the other day that they were just holding on to the pew. They needed to trust Christ, but they were holding on to the pew and wouldn't let go. And all they needed to come forward because they needed to trust Christ. And I thought about that. Why not let go? Why not let Christ have His perfect will in your life this morning? Let go. You know you need to be saved. You've come to that knowledge. And every time you say no to the Holy Spirit, it gets a little harder each time because you're hardening your heart towards the Word of God. And the Word of God may not touch your heart again. So don't harden your heart. Don't stand there holding on. Jesus Christ says, if you want to come into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And this morning, you've come to that edge. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. You're being convicted. And you've got a choice to make. You're on the very edge of stepping out by faith and saying yes to Christ. That's your life. A person may be lost, and you have to be come to Christ as your Lord and Savior. I think of a man. His name was Nicodemus. He'd come to the edge. He had heard about Christ. He had learned all about religion. He was a wise man in a religious field. He knew the things of theology and things of that had come along in his day. Heard all about Jesus Christ as a great teacher. And the Bible says he comes to Jesus Christ by night. And he says, good master, I know that you are a great teacher. Elsewise, you couldn't do these things. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you step out on faith beyond the point that you are right now. You know that I'm a great teacher, but do you know me as Lord and Savior? Do you have a relationship with me? And Nicodemus, until you open up your heart and be born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. You see, he inquires from God. God says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've come to that point. And some of you are like Nicodemus this morning. You've come to that point and you've heard about Christ. You've heard testimonies from individuals. Maybe your wife has been saved. Maybe your husband is saved, wife. Maybe your children have been saved and they've come home and said, listen, Mom, Dad, I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you see a change in their life and you know that it's Jesus that made that change. And you've got a responsibility this morning. What am I going to do with Christ? Nicodemus, what are you going to do with Christ? You know you must be born again. Nicodemus evidently accepted Christ that night. He took that step of faith. But I also know that there's some that come to this point who do not trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible tells me about a rich young ruler. He came to Jesus, and listen to what he says. What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do? What good thing that can I do? Some of the Bibles read it like that. What good thing in Mark 10? Let me just turn over and read it to you. Listen to what he says. Mark 10. It's interesting that he's looking to do something. He has everything life can give him. He has all the money he needs. No, that's the wrong scripture. Mark 17. Okay. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not, I never can turn any pages. Murder, do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth. He's so proud that he hasn't broken any of them. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. You see, Jesus loved him. Didn't want him to go away sad. And said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have. He knew he had a lot. And give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at his words and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, he has come to the point. He's come to the edge. He's come and he's literally living right now on the edge, stepping out to God's goodness and mercy by faith. He has to make that choice. And Jesus said, okay, you've done all of these things. You have really done good, but one thing you lack. I can just think of him saying, okay, what is it? I can do it. He says, go sell everything you got and come follow me. Oh, but man, I got a lot of possessions. You see, he loved his possessions. He loved the things of the world more than he loved Christ. He didn't have the right heart, did he? And Jesus knew his heart wasn't right towards him. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. Some of you are here today, and you may be at the same point. Nicodemus evidently trusted him, for later on we find that Nicodemus was with Christ. But this man, he comes to that point in his life, and he says, no! I didn't want you to tell me that. There bound to be something that I can do for eternal life besides that. Following you. Jesus says, there's no other way. There's no other way to receive eternal life except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you are there at that point this morning, and you've come to Jesus, and you say, what can I do to change my life? What do I need to do to turn things around? My life has been wretched. I have sinned against God. I live a life of sin. What can I do? Come to Christ. Come to Christ. It's just that simple. Jesus Christ died for you. But you know what? I can't make you do that today. You have to do it because you want to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe that he died for you and rose again. You believe that he's a sacrifice for sin. Man, you come to that point. You've got to make a decision. You're on the edge of salvation. Why not come on to Christ this morning? Go sell all you have. He came to the edge, but could not step over. And then, you know, there's another story in the Bible where Paul is speaking, and he's talking to Agrippa over in Acts chapter 22 or 26, verse 28. He's preaching about Jesus Christ and what all Christ has done and how he changed his life and how he died for our sins and how we crucified him. And old King Agrippa said, Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. You see, I've come to the edge, but I can't do it. I can't step over by faith and trust you. Oh, where are you this morning? Are you on the edge of salvation? You're living your life. You've come to that point this morning. You're at church. God's got you here. As you end up this year of 2014, one last time, you've heard the word. The words went forth, and you know that you must make a decision. Am I going to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior? Am I going to trust him by faith? Or will I go out these doors into 2015 coming up not knowing Christ and hoping that someday, some way, you'll make the right decision? Why not step out by faith and receive Christ right now? Some of you are on the edge of usefulness this morning. You've been saved. You're here, and you've been going to church for some time, and the Bible says you've been justified. Christ paid the price for your sins, and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. You've come to that point in life where you need to serve God now. You've made a choice for Christ, but you just haven't committed yourself to God. He wants to use you, but you won't let Him use you. You just want a half-hearted commit yourself to Christ. You see, there's a young man named Mark. Mark took off on a mission trip. I think of Mark, he was a young man. He had stepped out by faith. He was following Paul, and man, he was a marvelous young man, but he somehow or another, something happened. He got homesick, maybe, and he left Paul and went back home. He was living on the edge. He'd received God's goodness. He'd received God's grace. He'd received God's mercy, but he hadn't fully committed to Him yet. I think of people like this that, you know, they've received God's mercy and grace. They've received God's salvation. They've asked Christ to come in their heart. They've followed through to baptism. Oh, but they haven't grown in their Christian life. They haven't committed to studying the Word. They haven't committed to praying. They haven't committed to being a servant of God. They're still looking at what God can do for me instead of what can I do for God. And I think as Christians, we need to turn that around. Many times we say, Lord, what can You do for me? Or I want to join the church to see what the church can do for me. Listen. It's not what the church can do for you. It's what you can do for God. He wants you to be useful this year. What a commitment. Man, we always talk about resolutions for the new year. Why don't you just commit yourself? I'll commit myself to God. Serve God. I won't complain. I won't gripe. I'm just going to serve God with my whole heart. No matter what happens, I'm just going to serve God. You know, I believe Timothy grew up. And I see Christians every day that I think, hey, brother, all you need is to grow up. You're still a babe in Christ. That's the reason you get your feelings hurt. You know, those kind of people just need to grow up. Be useful to God. You know, you can either help or you can hinder. Don't hinder. You see, I think about Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:11. Paul had come to the pretty well end of his ministry. And here's what he says. When you come, bring Mark. You see, Mark had gone home. There'd been some hard feelings, but, you know, Mark didn't quit. Mark went home. I guess he studied or he thought it over, and he kept struggling with it. Some of us struggled a long time. But he was finally had grown up in the faith. He'd become part of the body now. And, listen, Paul says, bring Mark with you because he is useful to me in the ministry. Man, isn't that wonderful to know that a young man that had once quit and went home now was useful in the ministry? I think we all need to be there, don't we? We've all made mistakes. Somebody told me the other day all my mistakes that I'd made, and I said, yeah, I have made a bunch of them. Boy, I started out one time, and I made a mistake, and you know what? Somebody told me you ought to quit. I probably should have, but I didn't. Always think about what the old coach said, quitters never win, and winners never quit. God forgives, picks you back up, sets you back on a solid rock, and says, go tell. And I believe as long as we tell people about Christ, long as we witness to people, long as we want to be used, God will use us in a mighty way. Man, I love these people that they come back and they say, I want to serve God. I've had my share of troubles. I've had my trials. I've gone through failures after failure. But you know what? It's in those failures that we grow. If we don't make mistakes, we're probably not doing nothing. And I love people to say, preacher, I want to do this, and I don't need to be recognized for it. I've had some people say, well, I want to do this, but I want you to let everybody know what I did. I don't really want you to do it that way. But, you know, I love people that are just useful to God. And that comes because of growth in their life. It comes from not quitting, not throwing in a towel. Timothy was another young man on the edge of usefulness, always willing to move forward by faith, man. He was a young man. I think of Martha and I think of Mary. They were young ladies that God used in a tremendous way, and they were always being useful to the Savior. They were willing to be a servant. They were willing to be a slave to Christ. I think about Lois and Eunice, you know, how they worked for God. That's what we need in our churches. Saved people that are working for the glory of God, not for their own personal glory. You see, everything we do really ought to glorify the Father. And we need to live on that edge of usefulness to glorify the Father with our lives. So we see there's some here this morning need to be justified. Come to Christ by faith, trusting Him as Lord and Savior. You're living on the edge. You've got a point to make of salvation. And then some of you saved and you're living on the edge of usefulness. God wants to use you in a mighty way if you'll just surrender your life to Him. Give Him all the glory. And then there's the last point I want to make, living on the edge of glory. Man, I'd like to think that's me. I would like to think that's all of us. We're living on the edge of glory. We've run our race, and we've run it well. Paul was such a man like that, and the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, he says this, I am now ready. I've run my fight. I've finished my course. Henceforth is laid up a crown of righteousness for me. You see, Paul says we need to run with endurance, and he ran his race. And I believe we have people, I've known people in our church right here that have run the race, and they've run it well, and they finished the course, and now they live on the edge of glory. It won't be long till God calls us home, or I've already called them home. They had to lay aside everything that hindered them from running, but they were willing to do that in their life, and they were willing to run the race that God had given them. And every one of us ought to be doing that this morning, living our life on the edge, because tomorrow we may be facing Jesus face to face. Man, some of you here today, I know your life and you kept the faith. Some of you here have endured the afflictions, and your testimony speaks of how well that the Lord, or a well of the Lord and Savior in your life. I was talking to someone the other day, and I'm not going to give you the name. I've already shared it with him, but I'm not going to tell you because you don't need to know. But listen, the man talked to me, and he said, listen, you know that person in your church? I said, yeah, I know him. He's a good fella. They've invited me to church. And I'm thinking, boy, praise God, amen, that we've got people that are living a life that's giving a good testimony for the Lord. Do you realize that every day you're out there, somebody's watching your life? You're either setting up a good testimony for the Lord, or you're leaving them down a bad road. These people, like Paul, realize that whatever comes, God's going to be their Savior. And you know, this world is not all there is. Man, this is just the bad part. We've got a home prepared for us. I like that old song, where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And you know what? If you go back and look in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, we call it, about all the people who live by faith in God, the Bible says here, they all received the promises of God by seeing them afar off. By faith, they looked ahead and they embraced those promises of God in their life. They were strangers and sojourners here upon the earth. That's what we are. We ought to live our life as we are strangers and sojourners. I'm just a passing through. Man. Paul said, I have obtained a good report and a good testimony that their faith in God has provided something better for them. Man, if I thought all I was going to get is a reward down here on earth, it was be a poor reward. But you know what? The Bible says glory awaits. In Titus, verse 13, it says that he was looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He may come at any moment. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. Oh, that will be glory for me. My aunt, Laura Dotson, she was an alto. They would sing that song, and she'd come back on that frame. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace, I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. You're here today, and you're living on the edge, like it or not. You're on the edge of salvation. You've got a decision. What am I going to do with Christ? What are you going to do? Are you going to step out by faith and receive Him, or are you going to say, no, not today? Can't do it today. And if you're saying that, you're hardening your heart. It's making it a little harder every time, until one day you may not have the opportunity. Or you're living on the edge of usefulness. Won't you commit yourself to serving God this year? Start out working, a servant of God, and then, why not glory? Running well in life. Running the race that God has given you. Not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. I am not ashamed of the life that I have lived for Christ. I have nothing left to give but my life. Oh, that will be, Timothy. Glory for me. The righteous judge will give me at that day. And then he says this, and not only to me, but to all those who love His appearing. What about you this morning? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, I'm going to simply ask you to come forward by faith, saying, I want to trust Christ. I realize that He died for me, and I want to trust Him this morning. Not ashamed of it. What about you that's been saved? Won't you be useful this year to God? Say, Lord, this year, I want to commit my life to You. I want to serve You with my whole heart. Everything about me, I want to serve You. I want to burn out for God. A preacher said, you know what? If you don't slow down, you're going to burn out. I can't think of a better way to go than burning out for Christ. That when I get to the end of my life, I can hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You today for Your blessings. Lord, take these words and touch your heart with them. And Lord, we pray that people will make a decision for you, that they'll live their life for you, that when they come to the end of their life, it will be glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.